I don't know what to do. What y'all want to do? My Lord. Man, I know one thing. I'm as happy as I can be.
Amen.
I'm thrilled.
Amen.
I've said this several times in different places I go preach. As the preacher coming in to preach, it is not my business to come in and try to find out what's going on and what's wrong, who's fussing at each other, and who's talking about the preacher, and who the preacher's talking about, and all of that stuff. That's not my business. It's not. My business is to get with God, try to get something from Him, and come stay in this book and preach. That's what I'm supposed to do. But there are some things that I do look into when I get to church. There's something I want to see. Let me just go a step further. There's something I want to feel when I get to church. I don't think there's nothing wrong, preachers, with the preacher coming in and looking around and see if God's around here somewhere. Is that all right? You say, well, we bring Him with us. I understand that. I know that God abides in us. Remember this. I know God, the Holy Ghost, abides in us. But I want to see Him abound around us when we get to the house of God. He's in there, but I want to see Him at work, don't you? And then now years ago, when I started preaching, Brother Thomas had been preaching 32 years. He got some years on me. I've been preaching 26 years come December 19th, just a week or so. When I began preaching, I was real shocked. See, I knew everything then. I knowed everything, Brother Oliver. If you had questions, come to me. I was the answer man. I knew all about how to raise kids and all of that. That's before I had my kids. Before I tried to raise mine. Had all the spiritual answers. All I could unveil all the mysteries of the Bible if you wanted to. I had all that. Of course, you really believe that, don't you? But I'm going to tell you, there come a time where I knew that I didn't know near as much as I thought.
Amen.
I knew I'd have to wholly and solely depend on the Holy Ghost of God to help me do anything. And I want to do right. Man, I tell you what, I've been blessed. I lost my train of thought. It'll come back around here in just a minute. But I've been blessed here. And I want to say this, and I say this in reverence to the preachers, but I'm talking to myself. A lot of times we give and we give out and we preach and we preach and we preach, especially if you pastor. But I'm going to tell you something I'm learning more and more. And I knew this all the time, but I need preached too.
Amen.
As a preacher, I need to be preached to.
Amen.
And it's easier. I wish Brother Tommy's preaching tonight. I'm as hyper as any youngin' in the building tonight. I promise you, I don't know what to do.
Amen.
And it's a whole lot easier sitting there when you don't have to preach. Can I get an amen, brethren?
Amen.
I know the responsibility here, but I've enjoyed Sunday nights. And last night, Brother Tommy, I tried to tell him, and he's a gracious man. And he's humble. He's got a good spirit about him. Can I get an amen right there? Brother Tom, Holden is God's man, no doubt about it. And I appreciate you, brother. I'm going to tell you, God used that man to speak to my heart sitting right there last night. God's in his place last night.
Amen.
He was here. And he helped this old preacher right here. I needed some help.
Amen.
And God gave me some help last night.
Amen.
And I appreciate that. And I don't want to take that lightly at all, at all. For you that are here, the visitors here, Brother Oliver, I appreciate you coming. Miss Barbara, the whole family. Wasn't that good singing?
Amen.
Son, if you don't like that, you need to get saved. That's what you need to do. That's all I can say. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, that's my kind, and I love it. And it's my kind because it points us in the right direction, doesn't it?
Amen.
I sat right there, and I went to Calvary a while ago.
Amen.
While Miss Gibby was singing, talking about our Lord being crucified.
Yes.
In my place. It should have been me. It should have been me. But He took my place.
Amen.
And He took my sin. He took my hell.
Amen.
I love Him tonight for that. I bless Him. And that singing has put us in a mode of worship tonight. And the choir singing, it's been great and good. The fellowship Man, I just love church, don't you? I'm so glad I'm saved. I am. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm kept, too. I'm not only saved, I'm safe. I'm going to turn. You can be turning in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter number 2. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, I flipped over and looked at it while they was talking about our name being recorded. And it can't be blotted out. I like that part. You say, why can't it be blotted out? I'm going to tell you. Are you 1 Peter 2? Back up to 1 Peter 1. This is a whole other message right here. And I don't have to, I promise you. Simon Peter's talking to saved people, born again people. Look at verse number 9. Who are kept? Kept. 1 Peter 1, 9. 1 Peter 1, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 1, 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm kept. They tell us, the scholars do, that word kept is it's a military term. Son, gun in hand and at full attention. Our salvation day and night is being kept by the power of God. I tell you why I can't get unsaved. God is too powerful. Amen. You say, well, what about the booger man? I know somebody bigger than the booger man. Amen. Amen. Oh, he'd try to get all of us unsaved if he could, but he can't. Amen. Because I'm kept day and night. Amen. I'm going to go to bed here right a while. And y'all, some of y'all blue valley, y'all heard me tell it. When I go to bed, sonny, I go to the land of Nod. There ain't no need to wander around and hang around. I go to sleep. And I don't know anything that's going on. I've got guns placed at strategic places in the house. If I do get woke up and I don't know what's going on, so be careful if I'm asleep and you try to get in the house. But I don't know what's going on. Listen to this. And I'm not concerned about my soul while I'm asleep. I'm not even thinking about it. Amen. But while I'm asleep and unconscious of what's going on, there's somebody keeping my soul, thank God, and keeping me saved. I'm kept by the power of God. You want to mess with my salvation? Go mess with him. And you'll lose. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's not to get saved. My soul's already saved. I don't know why I'm here, but I need to say this. If you're saved here tonight, when you get to heaven, your soul will be no more saved in heaven than it is right now. Honey, when we got saved, we got the goods. It's not only good for here, it's good for heaven. But see, there's something else that ain't saved yet. You're looking at it right here. Alan Aiken's soul is saved, but Alan Aiken ain't saved. He's got Ray Aiken's blood running through his veins. And that Aiken blood is bad blood. It's tainted blood. This body ain't saved. But when Jesus comes, you're talking about it, Brother Josh, when Jesus comes and those come up out of the grave first, some say, well, why do they get up first? Well, they're 6 feet further down than we are. And give them just a few more seconds to get up.
Bless you, Lord.
I believe this. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Amen. Jesus comes, that quick, change.
Amen.
This mortal, going to put on immortality.
Amen.
And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption.
Amen.
And I'm going to get a brand hammer new body.
Amen.
I'm talking about a new one. Not one just patched up, duct taped up, bondoed up. I'm going to get a brand new body to go with my brand new born again soul that the Lord saved 37 years ago.
Amen.
I'm kept tonight.
Amen.
You may stay awake tonight, but don't lay there worrying about your soul if you're going to be saved. If you ever once got born again by the grace of God, honey, you're going to make it. You say, I don't believe that. Well, when we get there, I'm going to look you up and say, I told you so. I told you he's going to make it. We're going to make it. Glad I'm saved tonight. Would you stand with me for just a moment, please? Turn the page if you need to. I'll be in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Our Father, we're getting ready to read your word again. Lord, thank you for using Simon Peter. He used his hand, his heart, and his head, Lord, to write down what you want us to read tonight. Thank you for preserving your word too. Lord, we're getting ready to read something to the saints of God. Lord, I trust to be a help. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God, Lord, that's already here so real, will continue to give us that liberty that we need. Lord, I know what the Scripture says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, oh, there's liberty. Lord, I pray it'll continue to flow. And as somebody's already said, Brother Josh, somebody already said, may the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God have free course among us tonight. Lord, I pray you'd defeat the devil tonight. Lord, would you bind the strong man for a while? Hold him at bay. Keep him away from this place. Keep him off of these tunes. Keep him out of people's minds right now, Lord, so that they can concentrate on the things of God. Lord, I pray you would. Help us, Lord. We need you in a mighty way. We'll thank you for what you do and how you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm wanting to get to verse number 9, but last night, before service, things was going on up here. I just opened up my Bible, sat beside Brother Oliver. I had verse 9 on my heart and mind yesterday evening, and I hadn't read it, hadn't looked at it, but I opened my Bible up, and I looked at verse 9, but I went back to verse number 7. Brother Tommy talked about a theme this week. Now, I didn't plan this. I just opened up my Bible, and I read verse number 7. Look at the first words. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Are you a believer tonight? Can I see your hand if you're a believer? You believe. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So this is written to you. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Boy, look at these next words. He, that's talking about none other than my Lord tonight.
Amen.
None other than Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes, sir.
Some of us might even say, oh, ain't He precious? That's all right with me.
Amen.
He's precious tonight.
Yes.
He's valuable. Brother Tom said last night about those that would leave the east and go west looking for something precious, looking for gold. Well, there's something more precious than gold, isn't there?
Amen.
Something more precious than precious children and grandchildren. Boy, if you'll hang around, I'll tell you about my little granddaughter I got. She, you know what I've said 100 times already? And she's just a year old. She's precious.
Amen.
I ain't got my phone in the car. You look at my phone, you're going to find out who's precious to my heart.
Amen.
But there's somebody else. I'm trying to get started here.
Amen.
There's somebody more precious than my grandbaby tonight.
Amen.
Jesus is precious tonight.
Amen.
I love him. Now look, there's a difference. There's two categories of people here. Unto you, therefore, which believe He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. That's what Jesus is to them. The same is made the head of the corner. And look what He is to them. This ain't saved people. These are unbelievers. The disobedient. And a stone of stumbling. And a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. You may be seated. I'm not going to read verse 9 yet. I may not get to verse 9. There's two categories of people in verses 8 and 9. And as far as the earth is concerned, there are only two kinds of people. I'm looking over this room tonight. Boy, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad some folks that hadn't been able to be here are here tonight. I'm glad for that. Talk about Miss Jean and Miss Winona being here. Boy, that's a blessing. I'm glad you're here. And I don't really know your heart. I asked you to raise your hand a while ago if you were a believer. I hope everybody's a believer. But I can categorize right down the middle in this congregation who we are in here tonight. We're either believers or unbelievers. We're either saved or lost. That's it. There's no in between. There's no halfway point. You're either in or you're out. You're either going or you're not going. I'm gonna make it plain. You're either headed to heaven tonight or you're headed to hell tonight. One of the two.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm headed to heaven. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm having the time of my life. Son, I've got three cats. If I believed you could get saved again, I believe I got saved again this week, but I don't think you can. Let's just say I got recapped. How's that? Amen. Thank God for His grace and His mercy.
Amen.
He's merciful, isn't He?
Amen.
Isn't He gracious?
Amen.
We're here because of His grace.
Amen.
Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Can I give you the difference between grace and mercy? You know this, but let me give you this. Grace is God giving us something that we do not deserve.
Amen.
I don't deserve salvation, Brother Oliver, but I've got it.
Amen.
I do not deserve heaven, but I'm a-going.
Amen.
I don't deserve, you know, but the goodness that I have. Well, I appreciate them singing that song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen.
Aren't we blessed?
Amen.
I deserve bad, but I get good.
Amen. Amen.
Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve.
Amen.
But mercy, on the other hand, is God not giving us what we do deserve.
Amen.
I do deserve hell, but I don't get hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I do deserve to live lost and stay lost, but I'm not lost tonight. Mercy stepped in, and God saved me by His marvelous grace and mercy 37 years ago.
Amen.
Thank God for mercy and grace.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Have I said I'm glad I'm saved yet?
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I mean, listen, can I say this? I don't feel saved all the time. Do y'all?
Right.
Do y'all? No. Come on now, don't lie. We're in church. It's prayer meeting night. I don't feel saved all the time. Sometimes I feel as low down as any rotten sinner's ever been on the planet. Sometimes I just don't feel good. Sometimes I don't feel like smiling. Sometimes I don't feel like saying praise the Lord.
Amen.
That doesn't change my salvation.
Amen.
I'm still saved by the good grace of God.
Thank you,
I'm a believer tonight. Now look at verse number 8. I don't want to confuse people. There's some people take a doctrine out of verse number 8 that is not scripturally sound. It's wrong. Now, He said to us that believe Jesus, He's precious. They sang it a while ago. You know what He is? He's the rock of my soul.
Amen.
He's my rock. And I was thinking of this evening. I'm glad Jesus is the rock because the church of the living God is built on the rock. Is that right?
Amen.
Matthew 16 verse 18.
Yes.
Jesus speaking to Simon Peter. He wasn't pointing to him. He's pointing to himself. Up on this rock, Simon Peter. Look at me, Simon Peter.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Up on this rock.
Amen.
I will build the church.
That's right. Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
I'm glad the church is built on Jesus Christ. He's the rock of the church. He's the rock of my soul tonight.
Amen.
Thank God He is. I'm going to say this, and I'm as honest. I'm not putting on a false humility. I'm glad the church ain't built on Alan Aiken.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And I love you more than I can tell you, but can I just say this pretty bluntly? I'm glad it ain't built on you either. Because I know you are just like me. But the rock Jesus, the church is built upon Him, and she'll never go down. It ain't going down, we're going up, hallelujah. Going out of here. But to those that don't believe in disobedience, He's offensive. He's a stone of stumbling. That's that little pebble out there in the road that'll trip you up. Then that stone of stumbling, that it's seated in there that you can trip over also. There's a lot of people Jesus Christ is offensive to. The very name. We don't care if you say God, but don't you say anything about Jesus. Well, how in the world can you talk about God and not talk about Jesus? Because Jesus is God.
Amen.
Exactly right.
You can't. He's offensive to those that are disobedient.
Amen.
Now get this. He said, even to them which, here it goes, stumble at the word. I had to muse on that a little bit, Brother Tom. Stumble at the word. Who is it that stumbles at the word? It's those that are disobedient. It's those that don't believe that book right there.
Amen.
You therefore which believe, there it is again. That's been the thing, brother.
Amen.
Either believe it or you don't. But all of I believe that book you got there in your hands. I believe it from kibber to kibber. Don't you? I do. I even believe where it says on that side of the kibber, Holy Bible. I believe that too, don't you? I believe that part of it. I believe it where it says genuine cowhide. I believe that part of it too. I believe that book right there. I'm going to make a bold statement right here. And I'm going to make another bold one. An unbeliever, you cannot help an unbeliever if they don't believe that word right there.
Amen.
You can't help. What are you going to use?
Yes, right.
That's all I've got to back up what I believe.
Amen.
It's from that book right there.
Amen.
And if they don't believe that book, and they become disobedient, I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to stumble at the word.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
They're going to fall short of the word.
Amen.
I'm going to go another step further. If a person does not believe that word, not only can I can help, but God can help. You know what the Holy Ghost uses? The Holy Ghost uses that word right there to convict that heart. Woo! He uses that word to convince us and convict us of sin. I think it was Al Plummer did a great work in writing on the Psalms, and he made a statement. He said the Holy Ghost always rides in the chariot of the Word of God. They go hand in hand. Well, you see the Holy Ghost, He's going to line up with that Word right there.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right, brother.
So don't stumble at the Word. Believe the book. Now let me say something else. Something happens to those that are disobedient. Whereunto they were appointed.
Uh-huh.
Hang on a minute. There's some people say that people are born, and some people, it don't matter what they do, that God determined for them to go to hell regardless of what they do or what God's done or what Jesus has done or anybody else. They are appointed to go to hell.
Amen. Bless you,
boy.
Come on.
Bless you.
You're looking at one little old country preacher, don't believe one lick of that. My Bible tells me that Jesus died for everybody. He died for everybody. All of us, none exempt, not willing that any should perish. From Rosman to Heady Mountain, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Blessed God. Thank you.
I don't believe God said, all right, son, go down there and die. I want you to die for this one over here, but this one over here, don't die for that one. Let your blood cleanse this one, can't cleanse that. Ain't that silly?
Amen.
That's right.
Come on.
I don't believe that.
No, sir.
You say, well, does that mean everybody's saved? Absolutely not.
Amen.
There's another doctrine. Well, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. I ain't even thought of this till right now.
Wow, brother.
That is people that will acknowledge that Jesus did die on the cross, and they think because He did die, that automatically blanket covers everybody, and everybody's saved.
Yeah.
You better not believe that one either.
Yeah.
Jesus did die for everybody, but He saves us one at a time.
Yeah.
It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There has to be an application of that blood to your soul in order for you to get saved.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Oh my.
Come on, brother.
Jesus died for all. Some take this text right here and say some of them are appointed to death or appointed to hell.
Uh-huh.
That's not what that book says. That's not what that verse is saying.
That's right.
Here's what it's saying. If a person will not believe that book and become disobedient and stumble at the word, there's no alternative.
That's right.
But for them to be appointed to hell.
Amen.
Appointed to death. See, there's some rules that God plays by, if I can say it reverently.
Amen.
There's some rules of mathematics. These young ones here, how many still in school? Raise your hand. Still in school? I gotta be careful right here. Can I just say I just liked mathematics when I was in school? Can I just say it that way? Wow. Now I could multiply and divide and add and subtract. I could do that pretty good, but that algebra stuff? It took me 2 years in Algebra 1 and they passed me with a 70. Get him out of here. You know what I done the next year? I took general math. I did. Honest, before God, I did. But I did learn one thing out of simple addition. There's some rules you got to go by if you are appointed to get the right answer.
Amen.
Remember, we had to add in those columns. Just say you had a column here, a column here. Had those numbers. I ain't going to go through all of it because I'll foul it up here probably. But there's a rule that says there's the ones, there's the tens, there's the hundreds, thousands, 10,000. Is that right? Is that right?
Come on, brother.
You've got to line those up. And if you start adding them, hey, what if you got 6 and 5? What are you going to do? Well, that's 11. You can't just put 11 under there when you got those other numbers in front of. Hey, here's something else. You got to work from right to left.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I don't think I will. Well, go ahead, buddy Rowe. If you do, you are appointed to get the wrong answer.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I think I'll just put 11 here. No, you got to put that other one in the tens place. Is that right? Put you one and carry one.
Amen.
Well, I ain't going to do that. Well, go ahead. You are appointed to get the wrong answer. Isn't that simple?
Amen.
It's the same thing right here, what we're talking about.
Yes.
People say, I ain't going to believe that book. Well, don't believe it then, but you'll get the wrong answer.
Yes.
You say, I don't believe Jesus' blood died. He shed His blood for everybody. It's all right. You say, I don't believe He shed it for me. Well, go ahead. You'll wind up in hell. You'll get the wrong answer.
Amen.
We got to go with this book right here.
Amen.
This is what God give us.
Amen.
Oh, for grace to believe that book more.
Amen.
Embrace it and get it in us and get it out of us.
Amen.
Don't you question this Bible.
Amen.
Don't question it. We got to go with something. There's a crowd that's disobedient. There's a crowd that does not believe. But look at those first three words of verse number 9. Lord, what time did I start preaching? Was it like 7:15 or something like that? Is that what it was? Lord, I still are driving at 7:15. He says, but ye are. There's a crowd in verse number 8 that don't believe. There's a crowd in verse number 8 that are disobedient. There's a crowd in verse number 8 that are appointed to get the wrong answer.
Amen.
But He said, I want to see those that are saved and born again. He said, that's who I'm talking to.
Amen.
But ye are.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm part of the but ye are crowd, aren't you? I'm glad I believe tonight. I'm glad that I passed from death unto life. I'm glad I'm on this side of the but ye are.
Amen.
If I had a title tonight, that's what it'd be. But ye are. Now, I'm careful here. I know sometimes if you watch... Here I go again. I'm trying not to meddle. I'm trying not to be too mean. But you know, a lot of the televangelists and all of them, that you know what they want to do? They're going to build you up. There's something good inside of you. If you can just cultivate that and manufacture that, you'll be somebody for Jesus. Well, He needs to come around my house and live with me for about a week. He'd change His telecast the next week. I promise He would. Great evangelist, Brother Wilbur Hurd. He's in heaven. I went to his funeral in Indianapolis. I love that man. He would bow his head and pray before he preached. He said, Lord, I know who I am. You know who you are? And listen, I'm not for beating people over the head. Matter of fact, I am not going to attend a church where every time I come in, it's a ball bat upside the head. Now, I need it every once in a while. I'm talking about them preachers needing preaching. Son, I need my hide busted every once in a while.
Amen.
I need the britches whipped off of me every once in a while. By the Word of God. You say, well, I don't want that. Oh, it'll help you.
Yes, sir.
Don't get mad at it.
Yes, right.
Don't get mad at the man of God when he busts your hide.
Yes,
I remember our oldest daughter, Alicia. Lord, Alicia never done anything, really. She was a great child. I would have had 4 like her. But anyway, Alicia was a little bitty thing. And I don't remember what she was doing. And I saw her and I said, Alicia, if you don't quit that, son, I'm gonna bust your hide. And she barely could talk. She looked at me and said, Daddy, won't bust hide. Well, you spiritually may not won't bust hide, but I'm gonna tell you, it's good for us every once in a while.
Yeah,
that book will straighten us out if we'll stay with it just right. Amen.
Good. Amen.
It'll make you one of the but ye are's. That's what we're the ye are crowd. Oh my. But ye are. That's present tense.
Yes, that is.
You know, I had family members. A lot of them have gone on to heaven. But I've had some family members on my wife's side and my side, bless their hearts. They couldn't get a hold that they were saved eternally. Yeah. And they was holding on and hanging out and hoping, you know, that they could make it in, climb up the rough side of the mountain, finally get in if you make it. What a way. And I'm not putting that down. That's in all of our churches and all of our families. Now, please, I'm not making fun. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't if I make it there or when I make it there. I'm going to tell you, I'm saved right now.
Amen.
Simon Peter said, but ye are present tense right now. Before you ever die, before you ever get to heaven, ye are somebody.
Amen.
I said a while ago, it ain't building us up, but I want to build you up tonight. I'm going to tell you, you are somebody to God. Amen?
Amen.
We're not walking mats for people to walk on, the devil to walk on. We're somebody in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But ye are. I was thinking coming up the road, preachers, and I'm going to relate on, honest, I was just talking to the Lord and musing and trying to get my mind in gear to preach. And preachers, can I say this to us? I thought, my brother Albert, he's our senior pastor tonight. He's the senior man. Boy, don't you love this man right here? And I ain't just trying to butter him up. Isn't this a precious family? Miss Barton, boy, Big John, Gibbon, Savannah and John Hayes, I love him. And the folk at Blue Valley, here's a senior man in this building tonight.
Yes, sir.
And I recognize him as such.
Amen. That's right.
Brother Tom, you and I are probably next.
Uh-huh.
Just a couple years apart in age, our generation as it were. And then here sits Josh, under us. And I want to say this to us preachers. Any other preachers here? Am I overlooking somebody? Being a preacher is not what we do necessarily. And I know we do preach. Now hang on just a minute. Lord, give me this thought coming up through. We as preachers, it's not just what we do. It's who we are.
Yes.
It's who we are.
Right.
It's not, well, I just think I'll do preaching today or not. That ain't it. It's who we are.
That's right.
Can I say to the rest of the congregation here, I want to start with the preachers first. I need to be reminded of that. Hey, whether I'm a laying block or whether I'm in the pulpit, I'm a preacher.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
We're cutting wood or pumping concrete or whatever we're doing.
Yes, sir.
It's who we are.
Amen.
It's who we are. Can I say this to the rest of the church and everybody else? We could go with deacons, Sunday school teachers, and singers and all of that. Can I just say Christians in general? Christians isn't something that you do.
Amen.
Christians is what you are.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're supposed to be a Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
Wake up one day, well, you know, I don't think I'll be a Christian today.
Uh-huh.
They some live like that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, it ain't Sunday. I don't have to be a Christian today. Hang on, buddy, bro. You're either in or you're out. If you are, you're saved.
Right.
You are a Christian. You are saved. Well, let me back up. You know what saved? You know what Christian is? Man, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. You're right, Brother Bill. Christian's Christ-like.
Amen.
Being like Christ.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to say this. You can be saved and not be Christ-like.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
Yeah.
And the preacher was talking about it last night, Brother Tom. My mind went back to some days when I was unchristlike. I wasted some time. And I've asked God to help me. I thought of something last night. We can't redo the past, but we can redeem the present.
Yes.
How's that?
Amen.
Somebody write that down. I'll forget that before I get to Rosman again.
Amen.
We can't go back and redo and undo. Boy, don't you wish we could?
Amen.
You wish we had some do-overs? We can't.
That's right.
Boy, he said it last night to him. But from now on in, Brother Tommy Morrow, pastor of the church at Rosman, after I left, here's what his famous saying was. Let your last days be your best days. That's pretty good, ain't it?
Yeah.
All of us will go back and undo and redo and not do some things and do some things. We can't do that.
Right.
We're to be Christian.
Amen.
Well, I need to say this. I was going to say it before. I believe right now is when I need to say it. We need to be thankful.
Amen. Amen.
One of the telltale signs of this generation that we're living in right now is unthankfulness.
Yes,
and Simon Peter in the next, it's Timothy. Paul told Timothy that. Chapter 3. He told that he said there'd be some telltale signs of this last day, and right in the middle of it was unthankfulness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. On your sorriest day as a Christian, when you're as low down as you can be spiritually, even though you feel like you're meaner than a rattlesnake, you still ought to be thankful.
Amen.
Some food set in front of you. Yeah, you may not be in tune with God like you have been. Bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for the food.
Amen.
Lord, I may be the sorriest one you got right now, but thank you for the food.
Amen.
Be thankful.
Amen.
God help us. But ye are. We're different.
Amen.
We're supposed to be different.
Yes,
sir. There's a crowd in verse 8. Boy, they're disobedient and they're unbelievers. Verse number 9, he said, but ye are. Ye are a chosen generation.
Amen.
I wish I could preach this verse. I don't have the ability. I don't have the education. I don't have the vocabulary to tell it like it ought to be told. Do you know what? The Lord told us that we're a chosen generation.
Amen.
Chosen? Now hang on. Now there's a parallel here. Was Israel... Brother Tommy already told us about it. About how God still favors Israel. Listen, He's never going to unfavor Israel. He's got His eye on that little speck over there, I promise you. And He's not done with them near yet at all. He's fixing to do something with them. Was Israel God's chosen people? Of course they were. God looked down. I tried to think about this today. God looked down and He saw, oh, Abraham. Wasn't Abraham in idolatry? His whole family worship idols of early Chaldees? And we wonder, why did God choose Abraham? Of all the people, as you looked upon, why did He choose Abraham? And there's a lot of people, especially people that hate the Jews, they say, well, why did God choose Abraham? I got one better than that. Why did God choose me? Why did God choose us?
Amen.
I'm not worried about Abraham. I still can't get over why He would choose me.
Amen.
But He did, thank God. Now, sure enough, I'm enjoying it.
Amen.
A chosen generation. He reached down with Abraham. He said, I want to make a nation out of you. I want to make a nation out of you to show how the rest of the nations to worship me.
Amen.
And how to love me. And how to live and how to act.
Right.
He raised up Abraham, didn't he? Chose him. But he ain't talking about Abraham here. He's got nothing to do with Israel.
Amen.
This is us. I'm going to tell you something happened on bloody Calvary.
Amen.
That changed the things.
Amen.
From Israel to the church.
Amen.
Now we ain't going to fuss and fight over tonight when the church actually was initiated and birthed and born. I think I know, and I'd usually like to say this. I do have an humble yet highly accurate opinion. That's the best way I know to put it. Highly accurate, yet I'm humble about it, okay? I'm going to tell you, we don't have time to turn now, but I was reading this evening in Matthew chapter 27, as Jesus hung from the cross, and He cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, something happened over at that temple in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That changed some things. It changed from Israel to the church. I honestly believe the church was instituted at Pentecost. I believe when the Holy Ghost came down and gave birth at Pentecost, and Pentecost came, and the Holy Ghost says how they, whoop, the church was born.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something happened at Calvary that changed the ordinances of some things.
Amen.
The Bible tells me that when Jesus gave up the ghost and He died, the temple veil.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
That only the high priest could go behind.
Glory.
It was rent. In Rosman language, it was tore up. But it tore it up from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
And then Matthew tells us that the ground shook. There was an earthquake.
Uh-huh.
God did something. You say, what did He do? I'm going to tell you what He did. He opened up the way where not only Jews could go in, but old Rosman redneck Gentiles could go in and get saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
All of us can go in. The chosen generation. Or days some people done leave. Was it midnight or something like that? Got to go to work. That's all right. Chosen generation. Listen, I'm not changing our Bible. I wouldn't change that King James Bible.
Amen.
Preachers, I'd honest. I ain't just making a bold statement here. I say this humbly. I'd die before I'd try to change this book right here. Because I believe it so much.
Amen.
I believe it. And I'm not changing it. There's been questions about how long a generation is. He says, you're a chosen generation.
Right.
Some says 30 years, 40 years. Read the commentary. Some say 100 years a generation. Well, again, I'm not changing the Bible. Go study. Go look it up. It has nothing to do with about a span of years, a chosen generation. That word generation means a race
right.
of people. Not a time frame for people. It's a race of people.
Amen. Yep.
God looked down and He saw Abraham. And He said, I'm going to make a race of people out of that man right there. Let me tell you something. Jesus is a Jew.
Yes, right. Yes,
he don't look like this. He ain't white or pink or whatever this is I am.
Yeah.
Got that olive skin.
Bless you.
Those Jews, that olive skin. That dark hair, those dark eyes. That crooked nose.
Yeah.
Of course, I got mine crooked a time or two, but anyway, that's something else. I wasn't born that way, can I put it that way? Jesus is a Jew.
Yeah.
Abraham was a Hebrew. A Jew. God raised up a race of Jews to show the rest of the world about God. But something happened to Calvary. It's not just for the dark skinned. It's not just for the Jew. It's for the rest of us.
Amen.
May I say, it's for all of us.
Amen.
It's for every race.
Amen.
I'm going to say something right here, and I'm going to be careful, but I need to say it. I said a while ago, I believe salvation is for everybody.
Yes.
And that's not just for every white person. Can I get an amen,
amen.
Right there?
Amen.
We've all got our prejudices. We've all got our feelings. We've all got our whatever it is. I'm not bragging about being from Osmond, but I'm going to tell you that was a rough place one time. And there's only one race of people that was in Rosamond. Now I'm laying something. Hey, I'm going to tell you, here's what salvation can do. Salvation can help you step over some barriers.
Yes,
and salvation can help you see that's not just a black man. Or that's just not a brown man or a red man. You can see a soul inside of them.
Yes.
That Jesus died for.
Yes.
That Jesus loves.
Yes.
And that Jesus wants
yes.
to get saved.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
It ain't just for white people.
Amen.
Thank God it ain't.
Amen.
There's a little color in our family. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, ain't this something? Lord help me with this. We have missionaries. We send missionaries to Africa to preach, to try to get people saved over there. And we won't go across the street or go into town to talk to another one in our hometown about Jesus. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Jesus loves them too.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, He does. He does.
Bless Him,
Lord.
Latinos.
Bless Him, Lord.
We have some here tonight. Brother, I didn't park beside you tonight. I had the worst time parking. I got right beside him last night and had to apologize all the way into church. If there's any scratches on it, send it to Brother Josh. All right? He'll take care of it. All right?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God loves those people. Amen?
Amen.
He loves you all. He loves you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, one day I was working with laid blocks. And was pumping some walls. Brother Jeff Owen come and pump for us. He's got Felix and he's got Lucas. Two Spanish boys are working for him. Lucas, pray for Lucas. Lucas needs a little more help. I'll just put it that way spiritually. Just between me and you. And I'm going to tell you, Felix loves the Lord. Amen. Every time we get together, we talk about Jesus. Amen. We talk about the Lord. He's pumping concrete for us one day, and we've been talking about the Lord, and we got talking about Jesus coming. I'm going to tell you, Brother Felix, he got God alive and teary-eyed, and we talking about Jesus coming, how we love Jesus. I'm telling you, it got rich.
Amen.
On a block job of all places in the world.
Amen.
Pumping concrete. Say amen, fellas. My Lord. If God can get in that, He can get anywhere. Amen.
Amen.
They went around the side of the wall, and I had a scaffold buck up against the wall, and I was scraping it off and setting anchor bolts. I was hanging on with one arm, standing on that scaffold buck. Here comes Brother Felix around, goggled out again. He calls me Pastor. He said, Pastor, Jesus is coming.
Oh!
I thought he had seen it. I looked around to see if Jesus was coming.
Amen.
I got news for you. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And He's coming for white people and Latino people.
Amen.
Black people.
That's right.
He's coming for all. That's of that chosen race.
Right.
You don't have to be a certain color to be in this race.
Amen.
All you got to be is saved, thank God. Hallelujah. Have I said I'm glad I'm saved yet tonight?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. What a blessing.
Let me tell you this while I'm just rambling. I told you I got up here, I didn't know what I was going to do.
Come on, brother.
When I was pastoring in Tennessee, we took a week of vacation and come over to Cherokee. Patty, my wife's mom and dad, and her brother that lives in Ennery, mom and dad lived in Rosman, they met us over there and we camped at Wolf Campground, there in Cherokee. Now, I ain't talking about RV camping. I'm talking about laying on the ground. Because I was way younger then. I like a... Give me an RV now, if you got one, all right? But we laid on the ground for a week. We had the best time. Camped and we fished. And on Wednesday night, I said, well, we need to go to church. So we loaded up the kids. We just headed out. I didn't know where we was going. Some of y'all can help me. Some of y'all been over in Cherokee. But we turn up this road, and I think the name of it was Victory Baptist Church. It was a good name church. I said, we'll go to Victory tonight, if that's it. So we turn up through there, and as we're going up that road, we see another sign that says, Big Witch Baptist Church. I thought, Big Witch? There's a Big Rich Baptist Church. Y'all may know about it. I thought, dear Lord, that's honey. Lock a van doors. Turn the kids' heads this way. You know, as we go by, we're going to Victory. We go up there, and there's a lot of kids outside of the church. If it's Victory, whichever one it was. I need to get that name straight where it was. And so I get out, and there's a man comes to me. He said, hey, brother. I said, y'all having Wednesday night service? He said, no. He said, we're having Bible school this week. He said, but our pastor is preaching down at Big Witch Baptist Church. I'm not making this. You can't make this up. I ain't lying. I said, really? I mean, it's getting late. We're going to go to church. We got to get somewhere. So we go back down. We go into Big Witch Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you what I found at Big Witch Baptist Church.
Amen. Amen.
I saw those Cherokee Indians. Way darker than I was. Hair way darker than mine. I saw them stand. I'm looking at that church hymnal right there. Every one of them had a church hymnal. And there's a singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They sang there is a fountain filled with blood. They sang 120, Victory in Jesus. I said, I'm at home at Big Witch Baptist Church here tonight. Because them's my brothers and them's my sisters.
Amen.
We're the same race. We may have a different color, but we're the same race. Hallelujah. Man, them Indians, they got on with it there in a little while. They got to singing. They got to testifying. And the preacher got up and preached. And they testified some more.
Amen.
I didn't want to leave Big Witch.
Amen.
Ain't it good that God makes it that way?
Yes, sir.
You You may be sitting there tonight, if you raise your hand and you really are saved, you say, "Preacher, I don't like you." Well, too bad, I'm your brother. Just call me Bubba Brother, all right? I'm your brother. We're family. God's our Father. We're brothers and sisters. We're in a chosen generation.
Amen. Yeah.
You say, "You deserve that?" Well, I done told you I don't, and I mean it. I'm not putting on a false humility. I know I don't deserve that, preacher. Thank God I'm in. I'm in a chosen generation. You see that next one quickly, and I'm done. I promise you. I can't preach all this. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I don't even know really how to preach that. I think I know a little bit about it, but a royal priesthood? Let's go back to Israel. Brother Tommy could give us this. I tell you, him and Miss Barbie, they ought to take the rest of the week and give us Israel and preach about Jesus coming. I mean, really. Israel had a priesthood, didn't he? God set it up. It was godly. God looked into the household of a man named Aaron. Said, "I'm going to bring the priesthood out of that household, out of that family. And from the tribe of Levi, the priests of Israel came." If you was out of another tribe, you couldn't be a priest. It was Levi's only. Is that right?
That's right.
Levi's only. Out of the house of Aaron. And God instituted it. God set it up. They performed the sacraments and the sacrifices, and it was work.
Yeah.
But I said a while ago, something happened at Calvary. He's not talking about Israel here. He's talking about the Yar. You still with me?
Yeah.
You still one of the Yars? But Yar, a royal priesthood. Royal?
Yeah.
Really? Look at me. Royal? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You see, Israel had a priesthood. God gave it to them. We don't just have a priest. He said, "Ye are a priesthood."
Amen.
You say, "Are you a priest?"
Yes.
Priest Aiken. That's what you can call me. That's what I are. I'm a ye are. A royal priesthood. See, that Israel, the Israel's priesthood, it was a ritualistic priesthood. But we got a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Ours comes from Jesus. Hey, ours don't come from Levi. You say, whoa, wait a minute. How does that happen? You do know in the Old Testament that no king could be a priest.
Oh, that's right.
Priests could be prophets. They couldn't be kings.
Uh-huh.
A king could not be a prophet. A king could not be a priest. One tribe didn't. Uzziah? The king went in and tried to perform the act of the priest, and God smote him right there.
Yes, sir.
It was a holy thing. It was a hallowed thing. And no king could be a priest in the Levitical priest line. But David said in Psalm 110 that Jesus is our priest.
Right.
Now all Israel knew that he was going to be the king. I say all of them knew. But we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of a king. I still like what those wise men said when they come into Mary's house and said, "Where is he that is born?" Not a baby. Or not born heir. "Where is he that is born? King of the Jews." He's more than king of the Jews. He's king of the Gentiles tonight also. Amen. Every one of us. You say, "Well, now how could Jesus be king and priest if no kings and priests could be such in the Levitical law?" I got news for you. I'm going to close my Bible. Lord of mercy, it's got late. I'm going to tell you something. You know this. You can go to Genesis chapter 14. And you can read 400 years before Aaron was ever born, there was another priesthood.
Yes, sir.
He's called Melchizedek. Read about him. It was a royal, he was a royal priest, shadowing the one that would come. Not Aaron, not Levi, but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we come to the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says that he is prophet, priest, and king, but he is priest not after the order of Levi and Aaron. He is priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is out of the tribe of Judah. Is that right?
Amen.
Not the Levitical tribe. Out of the tribe of Judah. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Because he is our priest. We are a priest under the order of Jesus Christ. You say, all about this priest. I'm finishing. I'm finishing right now. Do we need a priesthood? What's this royal priesthood? What does it involve? Oh, I'm going to tell you what it involves. Sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise. But can I just do on this one about 45, 50 minutes if I can, please. About prayer. See, that priest was the go-between between God and Israel, the mediator, the lawyer, the go-between. But you know what I can do? I did it today. I did it on purpose because I had this on my mind. As a priest, as a royal priesthood, in the person of Jesus Christ, me being saved, I have the opportunity to walk into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Just like that high priest did.
Amen.
And talk to God.
Amen.
He went in to Israel once a year for the sins. He'd go in there and sacrifice and pray and go through that ritual, and it was God ordained until Calvary. Amen. But I don't need a priest. I don't need a pope. Listen, and thank God for preachers. I don't need a preacher to help me pray. I'm going to tell you, because I am a royal priesthood, I can walk right straight in to the throne room of God. And as a priest,
amen,
I can talk to God.
Amen.
You can't do that everywhere.
Amen.
Just anybody can't do it. Just the ERs get in on that right there. That's the only people get to do that. I ain't bragging, but can I give you just an illustration? I'll tell you what I did today. I went into the throne room as a priest, and I prayed over this service.
Amen.
God, please.
Yeah.
Lord, you did it last night, but Lord, we sure need you again today and need
Amen.
You tonight.
Amen.
Lord, would you pour out your Spirit? Here's the way I've been praying. I've been praying two ways. I've been praying, God, honor the prayers that the priests here at the church have been sending up. I've been praying, God, you honor their prayers here at the church. Then I prayed this way. I said, Lord, let a sweet breath of heaven blow through this place here tonight. And it wasn't long before I got here. I felt it kind of ruffled my hair up as it went by a while ago. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you something else I did. I prayed for this pastor right here and his wife. I called their names. He said, you can't do it. Oh, yes, I can. I'm a ER. I prayed for Brother Tom. Miss Barbie, I prayed for him. With all of you coming tonight, I called your name, Miss Barbara's name. I've got y'all's names written down in my Bible. Pray for Big John, the whole family here. Called you by name, and the ones, the names I do know, I said, God, help them tonight.
Amen.
Give them to, I pray for them. I pray for the Hooper family. I don't know them.
Amen.
I said, Lord, they're going as old time as you say to a new made grave. I said, God, go there and comfort them. I pray for the Jason McCall family. I don't know them. Even though I don't know them, I can still pray for them. I can send those sacrifice of prayers up. Miss Winona, I pray for her. Pray for you, sister. Pray God to catch you. She's here tonight. Miss Jean's here tonight. You say, what right do we have? I'm going to tell you what right. Because Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He, because of what he did, we can enter in boldly to the throne of grace. Not bold, okay, look at me, God, I'm here. Now we get, no. Boldly simply means we can come with confidence.
Amen.
Talk to God.
Amen.
About anybody, about anything. Here's the good part too, get to stay as long as you want to. He don't close.
Amen.
Are you a believer tonight?
Yes.
Is he precious to you?
Amen.
You therefore, which believe, he's precious.
Amen.
I want to try to help you tonight, but ye are. If you're saved, you're somebody.
Amen.
It's all because of Jesus Christ. Let's stand again. Our heads bowed. I appreciate you listening tonight. Lord of mercy. I mentioned Brother Wilbur Hurd a while ago. Some things that he said. He preached the first revival for me. I had scheduled the first revival when I started pastoring. Here's what he said, using that verse of scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes, sir.
He said, what that verse means is that where the Spirit is Lord.
Yes, sir.
Right. It's not when I come inside. I'm going to be Lord tonight. No. There won't be no liberty. But when the Spirit's Lord in a service like this, and I believe He's been Lord around here this week.
Amen.
He's been Lord.
Amen.
And there's been liberty.
Amen.
Word's gone forth. God's helped us to preach. Singing's been spot on. God still wants to do something.
Amen.
He wants all of us to be believers.
That's right.
If you are a believer, act like you're one of those ye are's.
Amen.
Our Father, Lord, You see us here again tonight. We prayed several times since we've been here. God, we prayed throughout the day. We tried to be in that constant attitude of prayer for You to help us. I don't know how to give an invitation tonight, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't really know. But Lord, I know You do. And I know You know how to help us. Lord, could I pray before we go any further, if there's an unbeliever here tonight, Lord, they just hadn't actually stepped out and trusted You and believed You for salvation. Oh God, please, save them tonight. Let them know that You love them, regardless of what they've done. It don't matter what they've done. The blood can not only cover it, but cleanse it and take it away. God, please, I pray You save somebody tonight if they need saving. Or if there's somebody backslid tonight, being cold and indifferent. Lord, they just can't really get in like they'd like to or like they have before. Lord, please. Would You help them? I'm praying for them now. Lord, as an acting believer priest, I'm ascending the throne and asking You, God, to help tonight. May the Holy Ghost speak to hearts. Men hearts tonight. Men homes and families and relationships and friendships. Help us to be Christians, Lord. Help us to do right. Please, I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are still bowed. I don't know how to give an invitation. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. If the pastor comes and he wants to, that's fine. It's okay.